And now, live from San Francisco and broadcasting live and worldwide on the Double Wide Network, it's Blissful Living with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you overwhelmed, overworked, and overloaded? You are not alone. Reduce your stress and live a more blissful life. Feel your very best. Be the best that you can be for your friends and loved ones. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living. She is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. I'm Rochelle Marie Lawson, the queen of feeling fabulous, your host for today. And today we have a really interesting show. The show is going to be talking about trusting your inner voice. And I know a lot of people sometimes equate that to their intuition, their gut feeling, spirit, divine communicating through them. You know, whatever it is you call your inner voice, that's wonderful. However, we don't always trust our inner voice for some reason. And I have known in the past that when I don't trust my inner voice, that's when the biggest chaos in my life happens usually. And a few years ago, I vowed to always listen to my inner voice. And since then, it has never led me astray. And it has curtailed me from getting into a whole bunch of crazy chaos, which actually does create more stress for us in our life. Before we get started, I want to thank my fabulous team behind the scenes, Wendy and Ed. They are wonderful and they keep me sounding good so that I can sound good for you all listening and the guests can sound fabulous for all of you that are listening so that you can get the information that the guest is willing to share with you and not have any problems understanding what we're saying. So thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Ed. You guys are the bomb. And I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, the Health Healing and Wellness Company. They have some wonderful specials to help you jumpstart your vitality, create more energy, whatever it is that you want to tackle with regards to your health and well-being. I suggest you check them out. You can check them out at www.healthhealingwellness.com. And with that, I would just really like to get started because this is a really intriguing topic. And I know people don't often, like I said, trust their inner voice, or rather they trust it, but they don't often listen to it. So today's guest is Cecilia Dahl Gillis, and she's going to talk to us about trusting our inner voice. Now, Cecilia.
Yes. How are you?
Hi. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I am wonderful, Rochelle. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for stepping up and allowing us to tap into your wisdom that you have with regards to trusting our inner voice. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Give us a little bit of history about you.
Well, I'm a retired Navy Nurse Corps captain who is a breast cancer survivor, and the importance of that is I was on a journey to purpose. I figured after 5 years I was still here. So I must be still here for some reason, 5 years of survivorship, I mean. So at any rate, when I went on my quest for to learn my purpose, obviously I got into the hand analysis, and that really shows up a lot. The intuition piece comes up because when I'm reading for people, I'm finding that a lot of times they're not trusting their inner voice for an array of reasons. I guess what I want to say is along this journey, in this path to purpose, I realized that each one of us has our own inner GPS system that is there to keep us safe and there to guide us.
Okay. And so you have this journey that you've taken and you discovered, you know, that you have this gift and the gift of, you know, hand analysis, and then taking your intuition and using that in reference to assisting people to know, one, more about themselves from their hand analysis, and two, using your intuition to guide you, to give those that you're working with the correct information with regards to what you're seeing in their analysis of their hand. Is that correct?
Yes, because the system that I use is it's a scientific process. It's called scientific hand analysis. And yet, I have found that I'm blending the science of what I know about the hand and what I've learned, and I've learned to trust my intuition, because when I blend the two, I'm finding that the person's reading is more robust. I'm not going at it from a a theoretical standpoint. The theory is there, but then the intuition, the gut is there. And sometimes even during the reading, I'll say something and I'm not even sure where it came from, but it's what that person needed to hear at that particular time. So much so that when I ask them, either does this make sense to them, and I usually get an affirmative yes, I'll ask them how it makes sense to them, and then they share with me how those words help them along their journey. So I've just learned to trust my inner GPS, along with all the theory and the book learning that goes into play, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that does. It makes complete sense. And I know you guys out there listening, I know the show I said was going to be about trusting your inner voice, and we are going to get into that. But what's really intriguing is the hand analysis stuff, because I know a few people that do that. And it's really intriguing information. If you've never had a hand analysis, then you want to connect with someone like Cecilia, or, you know, there's a lot of people out there that do it. And they, you know, there's different ways, I believe, that you can, you know, have your hand analyzed, so to speak. But it will tell you a lot about what you may have questions that are lurking around in your head. With regards to the hand analysis, I just want to ask like a couple more questions regarding or surrounding it. What is the most prominent thing people think when they go in to get a hand analysis?
Oh, it's so interesting you should ask that question, because a lot of times people are afraid I'm going to tell them something bad. So I first put them at ease and letting them know I don't see bad things. What I will tell someone, though, and this is with the greatest level of sincerity, is that if they are not doing what they're put on this earth to do, because their life purpose is encoded in their fingerprints, the bottom line is if they're not doing what they're put on this earth to do, and if they have gifts, if they're not using those gifts, they're going to find that their life may be less fulfilling and more challenging, because it seems like once people get over the, if you want to say, the fear or the apprehension that I'm going to tell them something bad, and I don't. I tell them the worst I'm going to tell them is, if you don't do what you're here to do, your life may be more challenging. So that's probably the worst I'm going to tell them. So once we get beyond that, then I find that the majority of the people who come to me have gifts, and oftentimes those gifts are supported by their intuition, or certainly reinforced by their intuition. There are people who have lines of clairvoyance in their hand. These people have this deep inner knowing, and a lot of times they don't have evidence or proof of how they know something. I mean, they can probably intellectualize it and say, oh, this is a culmination of my life's journey and all the things I've read and seen and been exposed to. And yet, because I find this in my own life, there are times somebody will ask me a question and I answer it, and on a conscious level, I don't know where the answer came from. However, it's the correct answer.
So with regards to the, you know, the fingerprints, is that something, you know, where you, okay, so you said that the purpose is in a person's fingerprints or print.
Yes.
Is that something that you can look at when you analyze your hand and say, okay, based on your fingerprint, your purpose is this or that, or is it, how do you use that information? I mean, it's, you know, it would seem like a lot of people would want to, you know, see a hand analysis person to see if they were on track with doing their purpose in their life, you know, especially if it's something that can be read through your fingerprint.
Well, first of all, yes, 5 months before we're born, our soul has made a contract with the universe, with God, of what we're going to do in this lifetime. There are four major fingerprint patterns. And when those fingerprint patterns are put together with the fingers that they appear on the hand, it's easy for me to construct a life purpose chart for them. So, but what I want to focus on is not just their purpose, because we also have personal blind spots. And that's also encoded in our fingerprint. Those blind spots are the things that get in our way of actually stepping into our purpose. So even though someone who comes to me for a reading, and either a reading period or validation that they're on the right track, they get people come because they want validation. Yes, I will tell them their purpose as it relates to their fingerprints and perhaps other markers in their hand. But I will also focus on their blind spots, the very things that get in their way of actually stepping into and embracing their purpose and the fulfillment that their life holds, or it can possibly hold.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good information, because you guys out there listening, you probably, if you may have never heard of hand analysis and how that can play such an important part in your life, or maybe you have heard it, but I just wanted her to share a little bit about hand analysis and in, you know, what she does before we jump into the topic of what we're really going to discuss, which is we are with Cecilia Daw Gillis, and this is Blissful Living. I'm Rochelle Marie Lawson, and now we're going to step into the big topic here, which is trusting your inner voice. And Cecilia, I want to ask you, now, when you talk about trusting your inner voice, are you really talking about, is it your intuition? Is it your gut feeling? Is it communication with the divine spirit? What actually are you talking about when you're saying trusting your inner voice?
I'm going to say it's a combination of everything you just said. It's those, I want to say those hip people get. They're just, it's like, oh, I'm getting in my car and I'm going to drive in one direction, and for whatever reason, I go in a different direction. Or something so simple as you're leaving your home and you look at the umbrella that's sitting on the stand or sitting near the doorway before you leave the house, and you don't pick it up. And then you go wherever you're going to go, and it starts pouring rain, and then you go, oh, I was looking at my umbrella. It's almost as though the umbrella was talking to you, to the person, saying, please pick me up and take me. You're going to need me later. However, for whatever reason, people, I think sometimes we get so much in our heads that we forget our natural ability or the power that we have within ourselves to bring things to fruition without proof or evidence, but it's something that we know deep down inside, almost to the very cells of our body, that we know it. And I want to stay on topic, I think about people for whom I've read, and where they, let's say they want to go into a partnership with someone, and deep down inside, something told them, there was something about this person, that this is not a good deal. This is not going to be a good deal for me because this person's values are different than mine. But they look at the other side. Oh, they have this person has all these other attributes. But they didn't trust that one little red flag that came up. And sometimes it's something that they feel in their gut. Other times they see things. I deal with a lot of people that are clairvoyant. Mm-hmm. I want to stay on topic.
Don't worry. I'm going to keep you on topic.
these people, you know, see with clarity. Mm-hmm. That's really what the clair part of clairvoyance means. They see with clarity. So when I give the example of someone who might have thought of about going into a partnership with someone, and they saw all the right reasons, all the pluses, and yet in those days, there was one little red flag that just stood out there that really mm-hmm. trumps all those other amazing pluses. However, they didn't listen to it because they didn't listen to that red flag because they couldn't put their finger on it. It wasn't something tangible. It was what they felt or thought.
And plus, then, they have all this other stuff that they're looking at that it's like, you know, all of this good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like one little hiccup that, you know, kind of seems so minute to all the other wonderful attributes yeah. of this person, right?
Yes. And then they don't listen. And then things
haywire.
Turn out badly. And, you know, and you use the word chaos. Then they end up creating a lot of unnecessary chaos in their life. I want to say there's, you know, there's different levels of intuition, and mm-hmm. one is our it's a warning system. It's an internal warning system, and that is there to really help keep us safe. I mean, things like I know of a woman who was walking down a street, and she passed someone, and she just got a really bad vibe, and it was kind of like a desolate street, and so this woman crossed the street. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking with her, she said, you know, I even went around the corner because she needed to go get her car.
Right.
She said she even went around the corner. And when she went around the corner, she happened upon this person again. But then got in the middle of the street, literally got in the middle of the street and walked to wherever she needed to go. That was her internal warning system trying to keep her safe. And she listened to it. Because so often people don't listen.
I can relate to that. I had an experience one time where I was waiting for my daughter. She was doing, about 12 years ago. I was in San Francisco, and I was in a really nice vehicle. I was in a Range Rover, and I was parked down by the pier, but it was it's a very busy area, so it's very touristic and all of that. And I was waiting for her. She was in a class, and I was just killing time. So I was sitting in the vehicle, like reading, I think, or watching. Probably no, I don't think it was something on my phone because they didn't have that technology yet. But I was probably reading and listening to the radio, and it started to get dark. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm very intuitive, and I was paying attention, and I did notice that, you know, okay, now it's getting darker, and you know, there's not too many people around. And so I looked up, and I seen this dude, and it was just really a trip. I seen this dude, and okay, I'm in San Francisco, so I see this guy, and he's got a black hoodie on, and he's got black clothing on, and you know, all I could see was the whites of his eyes. And just something about, and he's walking towards the vehicle. You know, yeah. he's walking, but he's walking in the direction of the vehicle. And it was just something about the way he looked and the way he was presenting himself. And I'm very intuitive. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I need to get my butt in gear and get the heck out of here. Because I don't want to have to hurt somebody tonight. That's my
yes.
part, right? I don't want to have to hurt somebody tonight. And this dude looked like I'm going to have to hurt him. So I turn on the car, and as I look up to put the car in gear, I look in the rearview mirror, and his buddy was coming up towards the back. They were going to try to jack me. I mean, I know it. I grew up in the hood. I know when I'm about to be jacked or not, right?
Mm-hmm,
they were going to
mm-hmm.
try to jack me because I'm a female sitting in a very nice, you know, $100,000 vehicle or whatever it was at that time, and I'm alone. And I'm parked in an area and it's getting dark, and where I'm parked and I'm in a black vehicle. So everything is just kind of dark. And so
yeah.
as I looked in the rearview mirror and I seen the dude in the back, and he was dressed the same way in black. And I pull off and past the guy that was approaching me from the front and pass him up. And he didn't, I mean, it was just like, I drove past him. They didn't look my way or anything. And then as I got to the corner to make the right to go, you know, up the street to go to where my daughter was, I see the two of them meet in the middle of the street, and they were talking. I'm like, oh yeah, this is one sister you wasn't going to jack tonight. And I truly,
yes.
truly know that it was because of my intuition that allowed me to get out of that situation. Because had I stayed there probably 30, 40 seconds longer,
mm-hmm.
I would have been jacked. I know it. So, you know, like I say, intuition is very powerful. And just how you say it's our warning system, it has, you know, like you said, different levels and different things. And it definitely helped me that particular night, for sure. Definitely, for sure. Now, you know, you said that we have different types or different levels of our intuition or our intuitiveness. What is the purpose, besides, you know, being a warning system and protecting us, what are some of the other purposes of our intuition?
I think one of the other purposes, well, my gosh, a lot of times it allows us to tap into our creativity. You think about many of the inventions or, you know, especially for the people that listen to your show, you know, if anybody uses any of the various decks of cards that are out there to support us along our path, you know, whether they be angel cards or any other type of card. I'm using angel cards as an example. Oftentimes, the people who create these cards have been blessed with creative intuition, in that oftentimes they get downloads. And I'm going to give an example. I know of a woman from Australia who has created an amazing deck of cards, and she literally, this is the creative part, she literally got a download of drawings, and so she drew them. She, whatever came to her, like 30 different visions, mm-hmm. she drew them out. And then, of course, it's like, now what do I do with this? and then as she took each one, she got a download of what they meant. And then obviously she found someone to bring this to reality, in that now obviously there's a deck of cards, and they're infused, just the pictures on those cards, they have a meaning, and there's energy behind them. Because I want to say everything, and I think you and your listeners know this, everything is energy. I
mean, oh, yeah.
We're a ball of energy.
Exactly.
And so part of the intuition, the creative part, is even bringing new advances to the world, bringing things to fruition that can help not just the individual, but help mankind, so to speak. I want to add something. I want to add, this goes back to what you were saying about those guys who were planning to jack you up, if given an opportunity. We also have something that's called social intuition. And you can walk into a space and not know anyone in that space, and you can tap into the feeling of those that are around you. And you kind of know who to gravitate towards, who that you kind of want to stay away from because the vibes are not that great. And I say that because this happens to all of us in terms of walking into a room, tapping into those feelings. This sounds silly. I was at a party once, and I am very intuitive. And for some reason, I knew this guy was hitting on this woman. And I'm thinking, well, why would I even think that? You know, because there were loads of couples in the room. I mean, and there were people that were with their spouses. These people were not married to each other, just so you know. Mm-hmm. But I just knew it. There was just something about it, being in that situation. And I kind of walked by. It's kind of like having having your own personal antenna system that you listen to. I mentioned the social intuition because I think, you know, you walk in, you can get the vibes in the room. You know,
well, that is true. I must admit that I have done a lot of social events and have gone to a lot of events over the years. I want to say particularly the last 25 years that I've been an entrepreneur. And I've walked into events that I don't know not a single soul. And I've walked into events where I know a couple of people, and I've walked into events where I know a bunch of people. And it's so funny because I never thought about social intuition. But when I go to the events that I don't know a single soul, that's so true about what you said. Because I read people I love to sit and watch people. Like I go to, when I go to the airport, you know, to catch a flight, I try to get there early so I could just post up and sit and watch people and observe their behavior. And you learn so much about people. So I go to these events and my social intuition antennas must come up because I know exactly who I get a good vibe from, where I can, if I don't know them, I can go up to them, approach them and talk to them and begin a conversation and begin the networking thing. And then I have the other antenna that, you know, steers me away from people that I'm just not feeling their vibe. Mm-hmm. There's something about their vibe that I just not in tune. I really don't want to interact with them. And then there are times where, you know, I get kind of a mixed feeling where it's like, it's somebody that I need to meet, but their vibe is not really, I'm not really feeling their vibe, so to speak, right now. Yeah. And in those moments, I go ahead and proceed forward because I know it is somebody that I need to meet. And potentially that person can get me to somewhere else that I really am trying to get to. But it is very interesting. And when I am in that situation where it's the person that, you know, I'm getting the mixed thing where I know I need to meet them, so I'm being guided toward them, but I'm guarded in my conversation with them and I just I let them do their thing and I read them. Sometimes those are the best ways for me to communicate or connect with the person beyond them that I'm trying to get to. So it's almost like I can use that person as a leap stone or a stepping stone. And even though I have minimal contact with them based on what my intuition is guiding me to, sometimes it leads me to the right person. And sometimes it leads me to, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? I thought you could get me here and there, but based on just our brief conversation, I want nothing to do with you. So I'll find another avenue to get to the person I'm trying to get to or to get to where I'm trying to get to. So I love that you mentioned about the social intuition because I don't think we pay enough attention, or I don't even think we realize that we have that going on within us.
And I want to say that an offshoot of that is also, you've heard of empaths, people who are able to tap into the feelings of other people. And a lot of times, you know, there are health empaths. I know there are times when I'm on the phone with a client, I may say, are you breathing? Because I'll find that at some point I'm holding my own breath. Or if something is very emotional going on in that person's life, you know, I might find myself really sometimes getting tearful. And I'll literally say, this is what's happening for me right now. And I'll check in with them and ask them what's happening for them. And a lot of times they're tearful too because of whatever it is that's really touched their heart or that's heavy on their heart.
Wow. And, very interesting. Very interesting. Now, how are some of the ways that intuition shows up in our life? I know we talked about, you know, when you see the umbrella and you pass it and then, you know, 2 hours later, it's pouring down rain. You're like, dang, I should have took the umbrella. Or, you know, you're driving down the road and you say, instead of going my normal route, I'm going to go this way because I think something's going on my normal route, and you go the opposite way. And you find out later that there was a big accident on your normal route and you would have been extremely late to get into where you need to get, you know, or just connecting with, you know, like me, you know, being in that situation in San Francisco where, you know, I just picked up a vibe and for me, sometimes my intuition is it's a vibe. I don't know how better else to explain it, but I just pick up a feeling or a vibe and I'm like, you know, it's either a good vibe or a bad vibe and I act accordingly. How are some of the other ways it shows up in a person's life?
Okay. And I'm glad you asked that question because I'm smiling as you were talking. I happen to find or be exposed to a lot of people that have a level of clairvoyance. And I think I said earlier that the clair part of it means being able to see things clearly, being able to see them, you know, without any obstruction. And so a lot of times people who are clairvoyant, they see things. I mean, it can either be a psychic vision or just clear seeing in their mind's eye, whatever it may be. And it will guide them in terms of what they're going to do. There are times when I come across someone who has, I'll say specifically, a line of clairvoyance, I will ask them, how does their inner knowing come to or through them? There are people who have what's called clairaudience, or what's also called psychic hearing, where, and they're not having hallucinations. They actually hear. They actually hear something.
Yeah,
and I
hallucinations
preface it,
is a different. It's for a different show, you guys.
But they do have this clear hearing. This, you know, whether it's a message to do something or not do something, or even for some of the people who've gotten some of these downloads, just being able to hear it clearly, and then act on it. There are people who have it's a sense of smell, I'll say, for example, this is, you know, I've seen Huckleberry around the house, and a while back I smelled cigar smoke. Well, nobody in my house smokes. But I also want to say I acknowledged who I thought it might be. And I said, you know, I said the person's name, and I had a very nice, warm feeling. I think so often we kind of ignore those kinds of things. There are times, like, somebody may have passed, and this is someone who passed on. There are times that someone may have passed on, and a person may, whatever that person smelled like, you know, that may come to you. But I want to say these are things that are there to comfort us and keep us safe. I still go back to the whole thing about our intuition is there to keep us safe and guide us in the right direction. There are people who are extremely sensitive, and whether it's using this information in their own personal life or helping other people in their lives, it's this information that comes to and through them. And I guess what I want to emphasize more than anything else is the one thing about our intuition, this inner knowing, the more we use it, the more it becomes available to us.
So it's basically like exercising any type of muscle. I mean, the more,
yes,
you know, the more you work out, the stronger you get, the more you use your brain power, the more cognitive your brain skills get, you know, especially particularly like when you're aging. And so your intuition is pretty much what you're saying, the same thing. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
Yes. And what I also want to say, you know, you talked about chaos earlier. So often we live in a noisy, noisy world. And so often people are, I'm going to say, disconnected from their intuition because there's so much going on around them that they're not still enough to hear or to just take notice. And so one thing I encourage people to do, once they kind of realize, well, yeah, everybody's, just so you know, everybody's got intuition. It's just different levels of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the more it becomes available to you, and when you need it. It's kind of like being in a situation where there's a conversation going on and you don't say what you wanted to say because it didn't come to you, and then you leave, and then it's like, oh, I wish I'd have said that.
So
well,
there, yeah.
I want to say intuition is kind of the
whether
same thing.
Whether it's a
thing.
Conversation or an argument, sometimes I have, dang, I wish I would have said that.
Yeah,
that would have been so good.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I wish I'd have said that then. Well, the intuition is kind of like the same thing. When we allow ourselves to be quiet and still, whether it's what we see, whether it's what we just know, what we feel, or what we hear, those things start coming through us and to us, and they don't stop. But it's important for us to kind of shut out all of that other noise, which is sometimes really hard for people to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do, it's like the reward is just amazing. The things that they're able to create, you know, I alluded to that earlier. A lot of the inventions that we're that we live with every day. It was a vision in someone's eye, and oft time it's something that came to someone in a dream, which is on some level is tapping into our intuition. And when I say it came to, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, a lot of the inventors, you know, in the past had dreams about different things. I know particularly like Thomas Edison, you know, would dream about things, and then he would wake up and draw these drawings or, you know, write these things out and didn't really know what it was. And lo and behold, you know, here we have all these, you know, wonderful things from Thomas Edison with regards to electricity, you know, just a bunch of stuff. Benjamin Franklin, who would have ever thought to go fly a kite in a storm? An electrical storm, who would have ever thought to do that? And then, wow, lo and behold, you discover the potentiality of electricity. And it was all probably from some vision, some download. I truly believe that a lot of these very great inventors had a really great intuitive muscle that they worked, you know, kind of like their heart, and really had a real good connection with the divine source. And because they strengthened that part of them, they were able to basically have a space for the download to come from the divine to give them the gifts that they have that we are so blessed to be able to utilize today. I mean, the computer, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And the computer, you know, back in the day in the 60s, I want to say a computer was the size of, you know, a 10-story building in Manhattan. Yes. And now you have this little bitty tiny phone that operates, you know, 40, 50 years later that operates, and it's basically that same 10-story building in Manhattan into this little tiny phone that you can carry in your pocket. So I think invention is the result of these wonderful people tapping in into being able to tap into their intuitive source and be open for that download. And definitely they've trusted it. And that's the next question that I want to ask you is, how important is it to trust the intuitive information or the information that you are being given? How important is it for us to trust that information?
Well, we must be channeling each other. I wrote down diary. Let me tell you what I wrote down. I need not to forget to say this. I wrote down diary. When you talk about how important it is to trust, first of all, as I said earlier, it keeps us safe. There's information that comes to us that can make a major advance in our society. And so what I say to people, whether it's a dream and or their intuition, I ask people or I implore them to kind of keep a diary, to kind of keep track. You know, if it's a matter of trust, because these are things we can't see, we can't put our finger on, yet no, we know when we don't listen, maybe not the best of things happen. And when we do, usually things turn out pretty well. So what I say is, it's advantageous, it's in our best interest, especially if we're the naysayers of the world. And I know there are people who, I don't know about this stuff, or I'm not sure. I think it's a matter of keeping track. So I've asked people, keep an intuition diary. Keep when you get these hits, you know. I mean, you.